Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.
Today we're talking about the role of built environment in obesity prevention. Hello, I'm Amy Myers, and welcome to Farm and Family. Today we're speaking with Peter Summerlin, assistant professor in the Department of Landscape Architecture at Mississippi State University. So, Peter, when we talk about the term built environment, it can also be described as like community design. But what exactly does built environment mean, and how does it relate to our daily lives?
That's right, Amy. When we use the term built environment, we generally mean the physical man-made parts of our communities. So these are things like roads and buildings, parks and industry. But just as important as what makes up our built environment is how we organize and prioritize those things in our communities. For landscape architects like myself, we fundamentally believe that design influences behavior. A bad design of our built environment can actually make our lives more hectic and even make us less healthy. But at its best, good design makes our lives easier, can make things more pleasant, can even make us healthier.
So what are some specific ways that we can better design our communities to help address obesity and make us healthier?
Yeah, designing healthier communities doesn't guarantee that we will be healthier, but it certainly encourages healthy activity by making it easier. And this, for me, starts with prioritizing active modes of transportation. You know, if you feel like you might get hit by a car walking somewhere, you're just not going to do it. But if your walk is buffered from heavy traffic, has shade, maybe some flowering plants, seating and lighting, we're exceedingly more likely to substitute driving somewhere with walking or biking. Similarly, a dynamic playground or park can attract kids outside. And if we just put more of these opportunities to be active, I think we'll find that our communities will be more active and healthier as a result.
Are there any projects you've worked on where you've seen a public design project positively affect people's behavior?
I have. In fact, one of my favorite examples was with my first job out of school. I worked with the Community Development Department in Madison, Mississippi, and actually lived less than a mile or so from two elementary schools in town. Some of our neighbors would actually walk with their kids to school in the morning, and I thought about being around that age and how I was able to walk and bike to school, and that being a special part of my childhood. So I figured we could expand this to multiple neighborhoods around these schools. And ultimately, that led to some community meetings and then a grant and then construction documents and eventually a new set of trails to the schools. The goal was not necessarily the concrete and the bike racks that we were able to build. They were just the stage. The ultimate goal was realized for the community when there were kids biking to school together, more parents walking with their kids, and an annual walk to school day that they actually still have going on today.
Okay, so are these ideas intended for larger cities, or is this something that can be applied to small communities as well?
You'll find these concepts in communities of all sizes. Greenways, which are these dedicated trails for walking and biking that have very little interaction with cars, these are often considered more of an urban application, and they are incredibly successful there, no doubt. Memphis, in particular, is doing a tremendous job with their greenways. There are also smaller communities in Mississippi that have found ways to take advantage of these types of trails. My favorite example is the Tanglefoot Trail, which isn't too far from us here in Starkville. The Tanglefoot is a 43-mile hike and bike trail that's a former railroad line. It starts in Houston, Mississippi, moves up to New Albany, Mississippi. Along the way, it travels through some really small communities like New Holka, which has less than 1,000 people. And what we found from our research here at Mississippi State is that these amenities like the Tanglefoot Trail are actually more meaningful per person than what you'd find in metropolitan areas like Memphis. But it's more than just trails and transportation. Investing in great parks and dynamic downtowns are also really important ways to encourage people to make physical activity a bigger part of their lives.
Yes, that's a really good point. And that also helps us socially, and it also helps us, more importantly, bring back these historic downtown buildings that I know many places have that need to be used for something. And that would be an economic stimulator for small towns. So where can we go for more information on built environment?
Yeah, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention is a tremendous hub for information on this topic. Their website is cdc.gov, and I use their search feature a lot with search phrases like walkability, active living, or active transportation.
Today we've been speaking with Peter Summerlin, assistant professor in the Department of Landscape Architecture at Mississippi State University. I'm Amy Myers, and this has been Farm and Family. Have a great day.
Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.